don't need to sit here and tell you that smoking cigarettes is bad for you. I don't even need to sit here and tell you that nicotine is bad for you. We've all sat through those drug assemblies in school. We all saw the commercials throughout the early 2000s. This isn't that kind of podcast. And at first, those messages of those commercials and graphic images of monsters and patients laying in these hospitals post-surgery, lamenting their lifetime of cigarette use and crippling nicotine addictions as they spoke through a hole in their neck, these messages did seem to work. Gen Z was on track to potentially be the first tobacco-free generation in the history of the world. But then, this new trend came along in the early 2010s. Gone were the days of smokers huddled in the cold, this offered, trying to get lighters to catch for a flame. E-cigarettes have now gone far beyond smoking cessation products and become a pop culture phenomenon in and of itself that has potentially spawned a whole new generation of nicotine users in the United States, particularly thanks to a company called Juul. Like I said, this isn't a podcast about health risks, but how marketing and misinformation created a whole generation of lifetime tobacco consumers, just as public health professionals were optimistically looking towards our first smoke-free generation. Using age-old messaging and techniques on a new platform, Juul made itself a household name across the United States in just a few years, even kind of becoming its own verb. Kids don't smoke, and if you ask them, most say they don't even vape. They Juul. Looking like a nice but expensive USB drive, high school and even middle school students can easily carry these devices around discreetly, unlike the bulkier box mods that are the favorite of vaping enthusiasts and former smokers, and are much less conspicuous than the pack of traditional cigarettes, who, if you'd go and smoke one behind the bleachers, let's say, the scent could linger throughout the day, even under the scent of strong perfume and cologne. Now, you can go online and find so many viral videos of students charging and hitting their Juul during class under the nose of their teachers, friends tricking each other with actual USB drives instead of vapes at parties, and the appeal of thousands of different flavors and pods and devices shows a culture around Juuling that has quickly drawn the attention of school administrators, parents, and doctors across the country. By 2019, 37% of high school students self-reported vaping that year, with more likely not choosing to self-report. Vaping was officially an epidemic, and the worst was yet to come that year with a wave of EVALI, or e-cigarette and vaping use-related lung injury, that mysteriously sickened thousands across the country from additives in black market THC pods specifically. And while studies show e-cigarettes can help combustible cigarette smokers quit those, people who are introduced to e-cigarettes or vaping without an existing cigarette habit are significantly more likely to switch to cigarettes later on. This risk seems to increase the younger a person is, along with their overall risk of developing nicotine addiction, particularly for those under the age of 25. Nicotine itself is a highly addictive substance for youth and adults, and even a cigarette a day habit can be devastating long term. That's why, when some of these doctors are hearing high school students are sucking down a full pod a day, the equivalent to about 20 cigarettes, is alarming. Even if it is considered less harmful on their lungs than traditional cigarettes, that amount of nicotine is extremely hard to quit, even harder if you don't necessarily realize you're ingesting that much. Juul pods in particular are both higher in nicotine content and provide a more rapid absorption than other products, up to 2.7 times that of combustible cigarettes, and even more so than other vaping products like box mods that provide extremely precise control over nicotine content and delivery. And especially if you're a high school student who is unable to legally buy your pods yourself and are relying on, let's say, an older friend or even parent or stranger, you don't have that kind of same control or awareness of what exactly you're getting in your liquids. And from what the FDA has been able to find, it seems that Juul did that on purpose. Or at the very least, they knew about this and didn't do anything about it. Juul has been hit with and is currently dealing with numerous lawsuits alleging they purposefully advertised their products to minors and overstated the supposed health benefits to their products to youth in particular. They even went so far as doing sponsored presentations in high schools about the benefits of their product as opposed to smoking cigarettes instead of just an anti-smoking lecture. Yes, you heard that right. The benefits to high school students. The FDA has been, quite frankly, rightfully scrutinizing them for a long time and continues to raise alarms about the company's practices, which has only escalated when big tobacco companies began investing in them. All of a sudden, in the mid-2010s, colorful advertisements began to appear online, and social media influencers everywhere started popping up with Juul-sponsored posts, bringing the age-old tobacco techniques of sex appeal, relaxation, social status, and even selling vaping as a health and wellness ritual into our modern era. This isn't anything new. Cigarette marketing throughout the 20th century was abundant and varied, but carried around the same themes, targeting everyone from traditionalist old businessmen to making cigarettes as a symbol of a liberated feminist woman. Cigarettes were even marketed as a health necessity by doctors from the 1930s to 50s, despite the first studies linking them to cancer coming out in the 1920s. This was thanks to chemist Angel Honorio Ruffo's research on tar exposure inducing cancers on the human body. He conducted this research over 20 years, but it wasn't until the 1950s that other studies began to come out, and big tobacco began to take notice. Tobacco companies were absolutely aware of the carcinogenic nature of cigarettes in the 1950s, and they have spent millions upon millions of dollars since in attempts to cover up and outright deflect this science. Some of the government officials they lobbied back in the day still actually hold office today, with many of them having argued on behalf of the companies that there was, and I quote, absolutely no definitive evidence that smoking cigarettes can cause cancer. You heard that right, that there was no evidence that smoking cigarettes can cause cancer. To us, in this generation, that seems wild. That seems so crazy that somebody would actually say that out loud, that cigarettes don't cause cancer. But that's because we have had these amazing doctors and public health officials who have fought to get that message out over decades against these lobbying and against many, many lawsuits and even threats to their life that their actions brought. Now, when you go buy a pack of cigarettes, there's a huge, huge sticker on the bottom or side or somewhere, wherever country you're in, that warns you that this product can cause cancer. And today, many of those very same companies in tobacco have invested either in Juul or similar brands, or are investing in creating their own electronic tobacco products in an attempt to get in on this new potential lifetime market. Combustible cigarettes still make up the majority of their business, but the audience has grown enough for them to take notice of this potential cash cow before them. The focus is not just on making these devices safer or the delivery less harmful, but on enhancing and amplifying the effects of nicotine even more so, since that's where the demand is going. Now, if this was actually about smoking cessation, we'd want to have more controlled nicotine levels. We'd want to have devices that could finely tune and control your nicotine delivery, and maybe even track it if that's what you're looking for. But that's not where the products are going. They're turning away from these more controlled products and more into these more easy and powerful products like Juul that can quickly become a very expensive habit. A pod a week, even, is very much comparable to a pack a week, and many former smokers can tell you that habit can grow extremely quickly, and those companies want to ensure that money is going to keep going into their pockets. And I want to be really, really clear. We don't have any data on the long-term health effects on vaping, both with nicotine and other substances like THC, or even just the flavors. Early data is not good from what we can see, but in comparison to tar from combustible cigarettes, it is, so far, less deadly than smoking. But we also don't have any long-term data about how other substances in the vape liquids can interact with a human body long-term when heated and inhaled at the temperatures that they are. Even with pods that don't contain nicotine, the additives that are inside of them aren't approved for aerosolized inhalation, especially not at those temperatures. And describing those liquids as water vapor is extremely inaccurate, and as the Avali cases have shown over the past couple of years, It's potentially deadly to market that way. While many of these ingredients on the legal market are, at the end of the day, FDA approved for human consumption, when you look closer, many of those substances are only approved for ingestion at the regular temperatures. Rapid heating of these for the purposes of inhalation has not been approved for human consumption, and early data of these additives is where the most concern lies. It was this heating reaction with vitamin E acetate that caused the mysterious wave of vaping-related illnesses, or EVALI, that waned around the country in 2019 and hospitalized thousands of young people. Eventually, this outbreak was traced to black market THC pods that didn't contain nicotine, but it was the additives of vitamin E acetate that, when heated and inhaled, could cause potentially permanent damage to the body's pulmonary system. While for adults who illegally obtain their products, this isn't as much of a concern, it's a whole other conversation when we are talking about underage users who solely rely on black market or middleman transactions to obtain their drugs. This includes the so-called flavoring-only juices where you still need an ID to purchase because they're still technically tobacco products. Well, again, vaping doesn't result in the kind of tar buildup that cigarettes do. The additives to the liquids are where doctors and researchers are most concerned about the health risks. Nicotine itself is also very, very addicting, but it's these other additives that can also result in heavy metals and harmful chemicals like diacetyl into the lungs in similar ways to traditional cigarettes. E-cigarettes haven't been around long enough for the research on their safety and efficacy to catch up to their marketing. And while heating tobacco is healthier than combusting it, that doesn't make it healthy. It's one thing to be conscious of the risks when you're consuming a substance and to choose to use it regardless. It's a whole other thing to have a generation convinced they're inhaling water vapor or quote-unquote just flavorings when their pods may actually contain extremely high levels of nicotine without their knowledge if they're not purchasing their pods themselves. The concern here isn't just the unknown long-term effects from vaping, but the blatant disinformation that was disseminated through social media and word of mouth before potential health risk warnings reached this new generation of smokeless nicotine users. It's one thing to use a substance with full knowledge of its risks, but when you have kids swearing up and down they'd never smoke a dirty, disgusting cigarette while ingesting the equivalent of a full pack in a day, and then saying it's just flavor water vapor, that raises the alarm for a lot of people, professionals, parents, and even regular smokers alike. Just because something is less harmful than cigarettes, it doesn't make it good for you. And unfortunately, it seems like that message is only getting through to many of these users, both younger and older. And also, cigarettes are probably not the bar you want to be setting in terms of, is this good for you or not? And again, other countries haven't had this problem with e-cigarettes and underage use. It's only being seen in the United States. In both the UK and China, not only have they implemented several smoking cessation programs with similar results to nicotine patches, if not slightly better, they've also reduced air pollution and secondhand smoke exposure, especially in crowded urban areas. And it really does appear that millions of users have permanently made the switch across the globe from traditional combustible cigarettes to e-cigarettes. The major difference, though, is the marketing. You won't see all of these young, attractive social media influencers in these countries showing off their latest rigs, having sponsored posts with their lavish lifestyles on display talking about their favorite flavors. They're fully marketed and controlled as smoking cessation products and direct alternatives to combustible cigarettes. In the United States, smoking, vaping, and juuling almost appear to be three separate habits, thanks to the strength of the brand and the marketing behind it. In 2018, 63% of Juul users between the ages of 15 to 24 didn't realize that the pods contained nicotine. And at that time, flavor-only pods were not available. Now, numerous states, including Michigan, have passed bans on these flavored juices, quite accurately claiming that they were primarily marketed towards minors. Unfortunately, that has left a massive black market for homemade flavored pods, with numerous recipes online for DIY liquids with flavoring, many of which contain oils and additives that are not safe for aerosolized inhalation, including coconut oil, of all things. Inhaling these heated products can leave behind heavy metals and microparticles in the lungs in the same way that traditional cigarettes do. While THC products are a whole other podcast topic, Homemade and black market THC pods are still dangerous and were the main source of Avali injuries from vitamin E acetate additives. Even less research is available about the health effects of THC, especially in vaping, due to legal restrictions around studying it. And there's absolutely no regulation or oversight on the ingredients currently in the market, even within the state cannabis market at the moment. With even licensed dispensaries and producers found selling tainted vaporizer pods in the last 2 years across the United States. For former cigarette smokers, e-cigarettes can be life-changing, even leading to complete cessation of nicotine consumption altogether. Across the world, it's hard to argue that its invention and distribution hasn't saved any lives, or that they are equally as harmful as traditional cigarettes. But the part of the headline that often gets cut off when scrolling is that less harmful still doesn't equal healthy, and for former cigarette smokers who are well aware of how deadly cigarettes can be, and how difficult to quit they are, the lessened risk is still well worth it. The current concern is how consumers who would never touch a traditional cigarette believe somehow that there are no health consequences to vaping, when the truth is we just don't know how the depositing of heavy metals and aerosolized particles via e-cigarettes will affect their bodies in the long term. So where does this leave us? Well, we don't know. There has been a reduction in vaping, it appears, among high school students at least, down to 19.6% of high school students reporting e-cigarette use in 2020, which was significantly down from 2019, potentially due to a multitude of factors, including the ongoing global pandemic that interrupts the purchasing abilities for underage users. However, there's still some signs that health messaging and cracking down on marketing tactics is working. But the questions of long-term health effects and risks of heating substances in the vape juice are still to be determined, potentially after the damage has been done. But if you're not a current cigarette smoker and you're not planning on getting your products from a licensed retailer, you may just want to reconsider picking up that habit. The good news is there is more and more studies that are finding that e-cigarettes can very much be a part of successful smoking cessation when used under the supervision and guidance of a medical professional. This is very much in line with the current United Kingdom model, where addiction counselors work with patients to reduce or completely end their use of traditional cigarettes through the controlled usage of vape products. But this does require the patients to have access to both the medical professionals and the mental health counseling that can be extremely difficult to access already in the United States. The studies also once again are comparing vaping to cigarette smoking, not those who started out vaping as much as these younger consumers are, leaving a lot of questions around e-cigarette sensation still unanswered. As we continue to wait on more studies and more patterns to arise in the coming years as to how successful these flavor bans and other message of discouragement are in terms of reducing the amount of underage users, if you're making the choice to use e-cigarettes, do some digging on the products and dosages you're going to be spending your money on. Until next time, I've been Alex Baker asking you to be safe, be smart, and be responsible.